Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Wanted to say good morning and thank you so much for dialing in, calling in, listening in on the archives. It's been an interesting week for us. We've been traveling, and it's been a little difficult at times to kind of keep up. And then yesterday we had another technical glitch. It was my fault, of course, but take full responsibility for the outcome of my life. And we just kind of had so much going on that I evidently slipped and didn't get the time change, because we've got this new time thing going on that we're doing now. So we had just finished reading The Gifts of Fatherhood, which was chapter 11, section 1. And then we were going to pick up yesterday, but we'll just do that today, The Invitation to Healing. And this is section 2, chapter 11, God or the Ego is the title of this chapter. And we're continuing to really dig deeper in the Course in Miracles, but we are also seeing the same themes over and over and over. Okay? That is that whatever's going on, we're doing to ourselves. Okay? That's number one. We really need to begin to recognize that we are responsible for the outcome of our experience, whatever it is, whatever it is. And so if we look at our life in this moment, this day, and we like it or don't like it, the only thing that's really needed for us to recognize is that regardless of the outcome of what we say our life is at this moment, it is only a reflection of past thinking. And sometimes that thinking is an unconscious programming. Make no mistake that we were given certain ideas about ourselves from a very early age. Even when we were infants, even in the womb, we know that there are energy impacts, if you will, of energy fields that are where everything, and we're learning is that everything is only a web of relationships. Okay, everything is a web of relationships. So when you set an intention, if you have a desire that has come up to your awareness, okay, and then you set an intention to achieve that desire, then the ultimate manifestation, okay, the realization of that desire, that is an experience in your life, ultimately that is manifested, that is born out of, if you will, web of relationships. It's all about relationships. And what's going on is that somewhere in the past, even if we don't recognize it, and it could be in early childhood, it could be the relationship of our parents, even before we were born, literally, or even in prior lifetimes, if you and accept the idea of reincarnation, that those webs of relationships create an energy field, which is a field, an attractor field, that brings experiences in to your awareness. This dream of a dream is simply born out of, at one point, a desire that we had, you and I, we could go play God, literally. What would it be like if we went out into the backyard and put a tent up and pretended to be adults and spent the night, overnight, you know, broke out our flashlights and packed our dinner in a brown paper bag and went out there with our pillows and covers and said, let's go out back and camp out overnight. But really what we're doing, you and I, we know, we were pretending to be adults, pretending. And then we got out there, and what we didn't expect is it gets pretty spooky at night and gets pretty cold at night, and it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so fear sets in, and then maybe even, you know, by the way, we've discovered, have we not, that guilt and fear never ride alone. They're always riding together, two sides of the same coin. Yes, we had a desire to play, to pretend. What would it be like to be like God, to be able to create, be the author of all that is, for us to define what's happening, what is, whatever is being in the universe, for us to define it. And so we did. Everything we experience is a web of relationship, and it's also a web of manifestation, if you will, a result of a desire. Okay, that is an idea that is followed through with an intention, and ultimately allowing that to begin to manifest, which is, sometimes don't we do that during the day? We daydream, we start thinking about something that we want either later in the day or tomorrow or next week or next month, next year, whatever, and suddenly we go on a journey in our mind. We are seeing it played out, almost like watching a movie, images, people, things, a web of relationships, almost like a movie, if you will, played out in our mind's eye, so to speak, as we see those images and those things occurring and whatnot and whatever may be, whether it's imagining going and spending time with people or going on, you know, imagine going on a cruise. Well, boom, there you are. You're on the ship right there in your mind. You can see the image right now. I know you can, because we think in images. So the point is, it's all born out of desire. It's all by setting a field of intention, and it's then allowing it into our experience. We are the result of past thinking. We're experiencing everything today as a manifestation, as a result of past thinking, regardless whether we like it or not today, in today's opinion of what's going on, my opinion of what I'm experiencing today, like it or not like it, it doesn't really matter. Truth is, I'm the one that manifests. I'm the one who's bringing it forth into my experience. And I may not recognize the hour or the day or the year or even the lifetime, if you will, when that desire became something that I set intention into, that I gave it the power of intention, that I wanted to experience it. But I am experiencing it. So there are no victims. We are and must then take full responsibility for what we're experiencing in this very now. In this very now. So in order for us to return home, that is to the mind of this perfect child of God that we are, you know, we have set an intention. And A Course in Miracles has come into our experience. And this section is called The Invitation to Healing. But we continue again to see a common theme now okay, that we are responsible for what we are experiencing, and that shift, okay, in thinking, a sudden shift of perception, we call it miracle, but a shift in thinking here, we could say, is a paradigm shift of where we're no longer projecting out on the world that it's somebody else's fault. We were walking down, doing a walk, you know, just going out and do a little exercise, taking the neighborhood walk where we are, night before last. Outrageously excited dog came running up to us and was running around us and actually jumped up on us and then took off. And evidently the dog had broken loose from its tether and was so excited to see people and was running. I mean, this dog was like really in gasp. The gas pedal was to the floor. And then there was an older gentleman who was walking down the sidewalk across the street away from us. And the dog, very excitedly, pretty good-sized dog, you know, not huge, but, you know, quick and fast. And this dog ran around and around him, and the gentleman got frightened, this older man walking, and lost his footing and fell down. Of course, we began to go over there to help him out, you know, to help see if we could help him make sure he's okay and try to help him get up. And he started screaming, "Is that your dog?" And, of course, no, we're just visiting here. It's not our dog. Immediately, his mind went into an attack because he wanted somebody to be responsible for what's going on in his experience. So if he couldn't blame the dog because the dogs are just doing what they do, playing, running around, acting like a dog. Imagine that, a dog acting like a dog, right? We can't really change its nature. That is, apple trees do have apples, not oranges. It's nature to have an apple tree. It's a dog's nature to be loving, to be friendly, to run around, and to be excited at the idea of the experience of new people and new love in its life. I mean, dogs are amazing to me. Anyway, our friend, we walked over and tried to, you know, give him a hand and so he could get back on his feet. And he was very angry. And I said, "Well, you know, things happen, and whatever's going on, you know, we're all just out here walking down the street. And, you know, the dog evidently, you know, broke loose from its, you know, restraint, whatever it might be, and is running loose." And, of course, he said to me, he said, "Well, that's liable. Somebody's lying, you know." That, in other words, he's got this idea that it's somebody's fault and he, you know, he should be made whole. He tripped on his own and fell down because somebody was irresponsible. So this happened to him. He's a victim. But everything that I'm sharing with you this morning proves that we are not victims. I don't know why or where, but somewhere in this man's past thinking of this idea of victimhood, he wanted proof of it, okay? He had a desire for this to be proven to him that he's a victim of the world, of life, of his body, whatever, doesn't matter. And you see, we send out messengers, and those messengers return. Our friend, this little dog, was playing its role in fulfilling this web of relationships and its responsibility to this web of relationships. And my friend also was fulfilling his role to help me remember, that we are not victims of anything, but that we could have this discussion now, you and I. Everything is a web of relationships. And this idea, this thread of knowing now that we can begin to see that there is a common thread of the law of the universe, that is the law of God, that we could not be separate from God, we could not be separate or outside the mind of God, that this is now beginning to to take hold, I'll just say in my mind, that this is absolutely truth. This is absolutely a true thought principle, that I could never be outside the mind of God, and that God is love, and God is mind, and God is spirit, so whatever I'm experiencing must be a dream, because it doesn't align with that truth. So I'm experiencing things now, in this moment, with you, right now, in this moment, based on a past thought, desire, and an intention set in a field and a web of relationships that begins to manifest. And for whatever reason, right, as we began to play God and pretend to be, we fell into the belief as sending out messengers to come back and validate our belief. We began to believe our own story, that it was possible for us to create and manifest a world, not just a world, but a universe even, if you will, that somehow supports our life here, because it appears that we need food and we need water and we need the very air that we surround ourselves with in this midst of a dream, if you will, in the midst of a universe that's limitless. And it's just a symbol, and it's just nothing more than a the imagination of the scope, if it's actually a word we can even apply to the limitless, boundless, unimaginable mind of God. And we're somehow stuck in this place, on this planet, in this body, right? Believing in crazy ideas like separation and sickness. In fact, sickness is separation. Or it's the idea of separation is a sickness, because it's a misalignment with truth. We could never be outside the mind of God. There's no space within the mind of God where there's a void where we could go hide or play or be without God. That's insanity to even think that possible. But yet we believe that idea. Yet we believe the very dream that we keep dreaming and sharing these thoughts of separation together. If sickness is separation, the decision to heal and to be healed is the first step toward recognizing what you truly want. Remember, desire, intention. What do you truly want? This is a wonderful practice for us to begin our day and literally believe, to sit down and think about and ask this question to ourselves, what do I desire? Because the decision to heal and to be healed is the first step toward recognizing what you truly want. Every attack is a step away from this. Every attack. If you want to be healed, if our friend wanted to be healed, and I'm sure he does, as we all do, to be healed from whatever we believe our symptoms are of being in a body, there's always some kind of something that we need, even if we get down to the idea that we need air to breathe to survive. Without this body, we would die, we wouldn't exist. Whatever it might be, if we really want, truly want healing, the decision to heal and to be healed is the first step. And every attack is a step away from this. It's literally making the dream more real. Because we're buying into a thought system called ego thought system, we've defined here in our course, that is not what we are any more than it is the truth of anything at all other than a fabrication. Every healing thought brings it closer. In other words, now we're moving toward healing when we step away from attack. The Son of God, you and I, the children of God, the Son of God has both Father and Son, because He is both Father and Son. See, to unite having and being is to unite your will with His, God's will, and for He wills you himself. And you will yourself to him, because in your perfect understanding of him, God, our Father, you know there is but one will. In your perfect understanding that God is infinite mind, infinite spirit, infinite love, you begin to recognize the truth. You couldn't be somewhere outside of that web of relationship with God. And you will yourself to God, to him, because in your perfect understanding of him, you know there is but one will. Yet when you attack any part of God and his kingdom, you understand your understanding is not perfect. What you really want is therefore lost to you. Healing is lost to you. Healing thus becomes a lesson in understanding, not some magic pill or a special potion or lotion. Healing is of the mind. If sickness is separation, then healing is of the mind. Continuing, and the more you practice it, okay, this lesson in understanding, the more you practice it, the better teacher and learner you become. Because why? Because the teacher is the learner. So when you practice it, the understanding of truth, and you share it with your brotherhood, the brothers and sisters in your experience, you are learning it. You are reinforcing it. You are practicing this lesson in understanding. And if you have denied truth, what better witnesses to its reality could you have than those who've been healed by truth, by it? But be sure to count yourself among them, for in your willingness to join them is your healing accomplished. Right? We keep the laws of God, which are immutable, eternal, and changeless. We keep what we give. So we get to count ourselves among the healed. For in our willingness to join them is our healing, your healing accomplished. Every miracle, every sudden shift of perception, every miracle, which is really a lesson in understanding, every miracle that you accomplish speaks to you of the fatherhood of God. Every healing thought that you accept, either from your brother or in your own mind, teaches you that you are God's child. You are God's son. Every healing thought. In every hurtful thought you hold, wherever you perceive it, lies the denial of God's fatherhood and of your sonship. And denial is as total as love. You cannot deny part of yourself, because the rest will seem to be separate and therefore without meaning. And being without meaning to you, you will not understand it. To deny meaning is to fail to understand. Now remember, we've discussed again already that to deny something means that you must have known it. You must have already experienced it. It must be something that you've had. Okay? To deny, or to imagine sickness is to deny health, is it not? Perfect health. But perfect health, to deny it, it's something that you already own. It's already something that you have. So denial, okay, doesn't mean that something doesn't exist. We could deny God, but that doesn't mean God doesn't exist. And it also doesn't mean that we didn't recognize and understand and know God as ourself, as we are one with our Father at some point. But we have dreamed a dream of separation, denied the reality of what we are. And denial is as total as love is. You cannot deny part of yourself because the rest will seem to be separate and therefore without meaning. And being without meaning to you, you will not understand it. To deny meaning is to fail to understand. You can heal only yourself. For only God's child, God's son, God's daughter needs healing. You need it because you do not understand yourself and therefore know not what you do. As our brother looked out upon us on the day, the very day of the crucifixion, as we celebrate Easter this very week, he didn't blame God for his circumstance, as some might like to think, that he was being punished or doing something that would alleviate our punishment at some future day or thousands of years later. Not at all. He was trying to make a point with you. That's all. Because only you can heal yourself. He couldn't wave a magic wand or give you a lotion or potion. It was about you awakening, and it's still about you awakening in this now. Because it's about you making yourself whole again. You can't deny part of your mind or part of yourself, because if you do, the rest will seem to be separate. And we need this because we do not understand ourselves. And so even our brother at this moment said, Father, right, forgive them. They know not what they do. He wasn't worried about himself in the least. He was thinking of you then as he's thinking of you now, as he's talking and reaching out to you right now in this moment in this book called A Course in Miracles. Having forgotten your will, and that your will and God's will are one, you do not know what you really want. Healing is a sign that you want to make whole. Make yourself whole. And this willingness opens your ears to the voice of the Holy Spirit, whose message is wholeness. Remember, our desire is for healing. You set the field of intention through a web of relationships, and you absolutely have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, which is nothing more than your right mind, the voice of your self, the voice of our Father. And the voice of the Holy Spirit, the message is wholeness. His message is wholeness. He will enable you to go further beyond the healing. He will enable you to go far beyond the healing that you would undertake. For beside your small willingness to make whole, he will lay his own complete will and make yours whole. What can the Son of God not accomplish with the fatherhood of God in him? And yet the invitation must come from you. For you have surely learned that whom you invite as your guest will abide with you. We've been talking, have we not, about no one can enter your house without your invitation. We've also been talking about the simple truth that there is no neutral. You're either riding along with the thinking of the ego, or you make a decision to disregard all of that insanity. So I want to go back to my example of our friend who became a little distraught and stumbled and fell down because a dog was actually expressing love. And he could have said, he could have, if he had known, and maybe we don't always remember to know, we don't always remember to ask because we're riding along with ego thinking. But he also, if he had been able to just stop for 1 second, possibly, if he had known what you're learning right here in this Course in Miracles, that he could have said, wow, isn't that interesting? I wonder why I attracted that into my experience. I forgive this dog because surely The dog knows not what he's doing, right? I forgive my neighbors because surely they aren't even aware, possibly, that their dog is broken loose of its leash and is out terrorizing people in the neighborhood by expressing great amounts of love. He could have made a shift of perception. There's a miracle potential, right? And he could have moved closer to a reconnection, a remembering, a healing in that moment of knowing that he'd never been abandoned by his father and that that experience was something that he had called for, because he is not a victim of anything or anyone. Because what God, because you cannot do what God has not created. Not have an experience of fear or terror or even death because God. What can the Son of God not accomplish with the fatherhood of God in him? And yet the invitation must come from you. You must invite it in. We can always turn away from ego thinking. This is always your choice. To turn away from ego thinking and turn to the altar, that is nothing more than your right mind, if you will, this place within you, within your mind, that you are, where you can reconnect with your true self. You always and always and can never sever that connection. You can always make that connection. You can always disregard the ego. This is your choice. But anytime we're only listening to ego thinking, anytime we're buying into that and taking a ride with the ego, we have, in essence, turned our back on the truth of what we are, turned our back on reality. But this invitation to listen to this voice, it must come from you. And you have surely learned that whom you invite as your guest is going to be living with you. Are you inviting the ego into every experience? Your reaction to your reaction to your perception? Because nothing's coming at you. Everything is only drawn to you from a previous desire. Holy Spirit cannot speak, I'm continuing now, to an unwelcoming host. Because he will not be heard. The eternal guest remains, but his voice, the Holy Spirit, nothing more than your right mind, grows faint in alien company, because the ego is the alien company. It's not real, but it's still the voice that screams so loudly. Is that your dog? Somebody needs to pay. Somebody's guilty. Fear and guilt never ride alone. The eternal guest remains, but his voice remains, or grows, excuse me, the eternal guest remains, but his voice grows faint in alien company. He needs your protection only because you care, only because your care is a sign that you want him. Now, it sounds strange to us to believe or think that the Holy Spirit needs our protection. We need his protection. But the Holy Spirit needs your protection. That is, he needs you to be conscious, to be aware, and to know that he's simply there, to turn away from ego thinking and turn to the Holy Spirit. He needs your protection only because your care is a sign that you want him. Think like him ever so slightly, and the little spark becomes a blazing light that fills your mind so that he becomes only your only guest. Whenever you ask the ego to enter, you lessen his spirit's welcome, and he will remain, but you've allied yourself against him. Whatever journey you choose to take, he will go with you. Waiting, I'm adding. You can safely trust his patience, for he cannot leave a part of God. and you are a part of God, I'm adding, yet continuing, you need far more than patience. You will never rest until you know your function and fulfill it. Only in this can your will and your Father's be wholly joined. Only in this. To have him, that is to have God, is to be like him. And he, God, has given himself to you. You who have God must be as God, for his function became yours with his gift. Invite this knowledge back into your mind, and let nothing that obscures it enter. The guest whom God sent you, the Holy Spirit, will teach you how to do this. If you but recognize the little spark and the willing, and you are willing to let it grow, your willingness need not be perfect, because his is. If you will merely offer him a little place, he will lighten it so much that you will gladly let it be increased. And by this increase, you will begin to remember creation. Would you be hostage to the ego or host to God? Which is it? Do you want to be free or do you want to be imprisoned? Because the ego mind is your captor. The ego mind is your prisoner. The ego mind keeping you paying attention. It's keeping your conscious awareness entrained, hypnotized, if you will, spellbound by a thought system of absolute insanity. Would you be hostage to the ego or host to God? You will accept only whom you invite. You are free to determine who shall be your guest and how long he shall remain with you. Yet, this is not real freedom, for it still depends on how you see it. The Holy Spirit is there, although he cannot help you without your invitation. And the ego is nothing, whether you invite it in or not. It's nothing. Real freedom, then, depends on welcoming reality, and of your guests, only the Holy Spirit is real. Know, then, who abides with you merely by recognizing what is already there. What is there already. And do not be satisfied with imaginary comforters, for the comforter, capital C comforter of God, is in you. Hallelujah and amen. Let's turn to our lesson today. As we turn to lesson 107. This is one of our longer lessons, but I'm not going to add a lot of content to this lesson. I think a good discussion today. Learned a lot. So thank you for allowing me to have the discussion with you. Let's read our lesson, Truth Will Correct All Errors in My Mind, which is so consistent with what we've just read. Truth being the voice for God, truth being the Holy Spirit, will correct all errors in my mind. But I just want to read this through and let you take what you will from this lesson as it's written. What can correct illusions but the truth? And what are errors but illusions that remain unrecognized for what they are? Where truth has entered, errors disappear. They merely vanish, leaving not a trace by which to be remembered. They're gone because without belief, they have no life. And so they disappear to nothingness, returning whence they came. From dust to dust, they come and go. For only truth. Can you imagine what a state of mind without illusion is? How it would feel? Try to remember when there was a time, perhaps a minute, maybe even less, when nothing came to interrupt your peace, when you were certain you were loved and safe. Then try to picture what it would be like to have that moment be extended to the end of time, to eternity. Then let the sense of quiet that you felt be multiplied 100 times and then be multiplied another 100 times. And now you have a hint. Not more than just the faintest intimation of the state your mind will rest in when the truth has come. Without illusions, there can be no fear, no doubt, and no attack. When truth has come, all pain is over. There is no room for transitory thoughts and dead ideas to linger in your mind. Truth occupies your mind completely, liberating you from all beliefs in the ephemeral. They have no place because the truth has come, and they are nowhere. They cannot be found, for truth is everywhere forever now. So when truth comes, when truth has come, it does not stay a while to disappear or change something else. It does not shift and alter in its form, nor come and go and go and come again. It stays exactly as it always was, to be depended on in every need, and trusted with a perfect trust in all the seeming difficulties and the doubts that the appearances the world presents engender. They will merely blow away. Truth corrects the errors in your mind. When truth has come, it harbors in its wings the gift of perfect constancy and love, which does not falter in the face of pain, but looks beyond it steadily and sure. Here is the gift of healing, for the truth needs no defense. Therefore, no attack is possible. Illusions can be brought to truth to be corrected, but the truth stands far beyond illusions and cannot be brought to them to turn them into truth. Truth does not come and go, nor shift, nor change in this appearance now and then in that, evading capture and then escaping grasp. It does not hide. It stands in open light and obvious accessibility. It's important that anyone could seek it truly. It's impossible that anyone could seek it truly and would not succeed. Today belongs to truth. Give truth its due, and it will give you yours. You were not meant to suffer and to die. Your Father wills these dreams be gone. Let truth correct them all. We do not ask for what we do not have. We merely ask for what belongs to us, that we may recognize it as our own. Today, we practice on the happy note of certainty that has been born of truth. The shaky and unsteady footsteps of illusion are not our approach today. We are as certain of success as we are sure we live and hope and breathe and think. We do not doubt. We walk with truth today and count on it to enter into all the exercises that we do this day. Begin by asking him who goes with you upon this undertaking that he be in your awareness as you go with him. You are not made of flesh, blood, and bone, but were created by the self-same thought which gave the gift of life to him as well. He is your brother, and so like to you, your Father knows that you are both the same. It is yourself you asked to go with you, and how could he be absent where you are? Truth will correct all errors in your mind which tell you you could be apart from him. You speak to him today and make your pledge to let him function by fulfilling through you. Your function be fulfilled through you. To share his function is to share his joy. His confidence is with you. As you say, truth will correct all errors in my mind, and I will rest in him who is myself. Then let him lead you gently to the truth which will envelop you and give you peace so deep and tranquil that you will return to the familiar world reluctantly. And yet, you will be glad to look upon this world again, for you will bring with you the promise of the changes which the truth that goes with you will carry to the world. They will increase with every gift you give of 5 small minutes. Then the errors that surround the world will be corrected as you let them be corrected in your mind. Do not forget your function for today. Each time you tell yourself with confidence, truth will correct all errors in my mind, you speak for all the world and him who would release the world as he would set you free. That is such a beautiful, beautiful lesson that's been given us today by that very one that we speak of, truth itself. I love you. Great day. So, let's close our broadcast today with a moment of silence and prayer. Father, your peace surrounds me. Where I go, your peace goes there with me. It sheds its light on everyone I meet. I bring it to the desolate and lonely and afraid. I give your peace to those who suffer pain or grief for loss or think that they are bereft of hope and happiness. Send them to me, my Father. Let me bring your peace with me, for I would save your child, your son, your daughter, as is your will that I may come to recognize through my effort to save my brothers and sisters, that I may come to recognize my true self. And so we go in peace into the world today. Recognizing truth of ourself, him whom you have sent to us, that is nothing more than our right mind, our true self, in recognition that this self is one with you, Father, that this will, your will, thy will be done. This day rule out of me all self-will, that I may listen again, whether it's for a brief moment or for 5 minutes, an hour, or for 30 minutes in meditation, whatever, that I would spend that time just with the desire and the intention and through allowance and surrender to hear your voice in, Father, to turn away from hazy idea that I could ever be separated from what you have created me to be. I join with my brothers and sisters and my companions in saying thank you, Father. So much gratitude fills our hearts as the Spirit of love enjoins with us today. Be exactly as you have created us to be love, to be the embodiment of love, to know that having and being are one in you, Father, and that we embrace our brothers and sisters throughout the world today because we, seeing the face of Christ, we are seeing that aspect of their mind that is one with ours as we turn within, make that connection solid and sound once again. And in deepest gratitude and love and humility, they thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you, my brothers and sisters, so much for being with me, allowing me this opportunity to learn again with you today, that we have a chance today. We have a We have an opportunity today to be together again in love, in spirit, in you. And we'll make every effort to be back here tomorrow morning for another episode. Best hour. I'm looking forward to being here with you then.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.